Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of coming into your presence, for inviting us. We come not because we are good, but because Jesus is. We trust in his merits, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is found in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord."
Honor thy father and thy mother. Last month we honored mothers. Tomorrow it's fathers. You know, when we honor mothers, we can bring them a rose, or it's easy, you know. But what do you do to honor the fathers? I thought of something a little too late. I thought of bringing a carpenter's pencil to give to each of the dads, but I didn't think about it soon enough. I wish my dad was still alive. Well, I suppose I don't, because he was failing. But it would be nice to be able to talk to him. But I can't do that anymore. And I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus when I get to see my dad again. My dad, there were some differences between us. He was 6'1". That was probably the most obvious one. I got a lot of my traits, I think, from him. At least I hope I did. He was a faithful, steady man. And he followed the Lord Jesus. And he took the Bible and the spirit of prophecy as his counsel, and he raised me that way. I'm thankful for my dad. This morning, I thought I would give us time to each give a tribute to our dads, especially if your dad is alive and can hear you. To express our appreciation for our dad. And that doesn't mean that if your dad isn't here, you can't share. But if your dad is here and can hear you, it's a good time to express appreciation for your dad. Does anyone want to do that? Yes.
My father, I didn't have the privilege of growing up.
Okay. Is anyone else? Yes. Okay. All right. Anyone else have one? Yes. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, very good. Yes. Amen. Yes, John? Okay, good. Yes, David? Okay. Very good. That was probably one advantage of some of the sternness then, that kids did what they were, what their parents told them to do instead of doing whatever. Yes. I thought I saw a hand. Anybody else? Okay. Brian? Okay. Adam, I think your hand was up.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, you know, I got to say. And I realized my mom was a great dad. I don't know how she did it, but, you know, to be bold, it's hard enough being one of a pair here. So, how you do bold?
Okay, good. Yes, Eddie? I'll share one more short story about my parents, my dad's commitment to Christian education. We lived on a farm in Oregon, about 60 acres, and my dad had gone through, his sawmill went bankrupt, and the house never got built, so we lived in a 20 by 40 workshop that was supposed to be the workshop, and the house was going to be built, but we never got to the house. We had a 37 Chevy flatbed truck. That was our vehicle for seven of us for a while. And one evening, my parents came home on flat tires. They were that poor. They didn't have the money to go buy them. But we never missed a day in church school. And I'm thankful for that. Is there someone else that had a... Yes. Okay, very good.
My dad, one thing I can appreciate from him, he taught me to be an independent thinker. And that has got me into trouble many times, but that's all right. He was never a follow the crowd person, and I'm not either. Another thing, as my son said, that there was never a question about Christian education. That's where we went.
Amen.
And through academy, and even for me, partially college, but There was never a question. We were in an Adventist educational system. That was primary importance. And, you know, unfortunately, today we see a lot of people say, well, you know, whatever. But trust me, Adventist education is extremely important to your children. And there should be no question about where your children should be.
You'll have no regrets in eternity.
No.
I told my boys they could go to any Adventist school of their choice. There are a couple of principles that I want to share with you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. And these apply to parents in general, but especially to fathers. Actually, it's chapter 18, and we want verse 19. And the King James puts it one way, and the NIV puts it another way, and I think both are right. Chapter 18, verse 19, it says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children." The King James says, "Because I know that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." God chose Abraham because he knew that he would command his children after him, and in order to encourage him to continue to do that. There's two points here that are important in this verse about fathers and children. Can you see what those are? Okay, commanded his children after him. What are the two points in there? What was that? Okay. Yes. Number one, he commanded his children. His children didn't rule the house. He commanded his children. And the second one is after him. The example. When my dad told me stories about when he was a child or a young person, his parents would take him to church, drop him off, and come back and get him afterwards. And when he got to be a teenager, he says, "Why do I need to go? They're not going. If they don't need it, I don't need it." To command our children, we must command them after us. In bringing someone to Jesus, we can only lead them as close as we are. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can't bring your children to Jesus. So first of all, you have to be there first. And of course, the men, by the Bible, are the priests of the home. So the man is to be the spiritual director, the spiritual leader of the home. And in the absence of the man, then the lady, the mother, has that responsibility. Now, as a pastor, there were oftentimes I was gone in the evening, and so my wife would have worship with the children in the evening in my absence. We had worship morning and evening, and I think I've shared this with you before. The Value Genesis study talks about the most important single thing to help the children follow in the faith is family worship. Now, they said they did it once a week. I don't want to put my children up against those kinds of odds. In the Bible, it was morning and evening sacrifices. It was morning and evening worship. That's the plan of the Lord. Now, if you don't have children, that's fine. Husbands and wife, have your devotions together. You each need to have them, but fathers, the head of the house, the man of the house, take time to have devotions with your wife. Pray with them. You don't have to do it for an hour, but read a verse or two and think about it a little bit and pray. Pray for one another that the Lord will give you strength for the day and so on. And of course, in raising the children, it's so important to mold them in a relationship with God, because it's in the family worship time that children learn to pray, learn to address Jesus, learn to have that spiritual relationship. But if dads never have it, you know, the difficulty is that if mom does it, if you have daughters, that's not so bad, because the daughters tend to follow mom. But if you have sons, if dad's not involved spiritually, then sons probably won't be either. That's the first principle. The second one, go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. If you want the best way to raise a child, see if you can pick out the principle involved here, because it's in a totally different context. Matthew 19, 1 through 8. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become what? One.'" That's not the point that I was looking for, but it's a good one. "So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry. Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given," and so on. There's a principle here that Jesus appeals to. I want you to do a little working in the mind here. What is Jesus doing? What is his appeal? Okay, that's the subject that he's working on, but what's his authority? Yes, back to the beginning. Back to the original plan. The original plan is the best. If you want to know what God's will is, find the first place in the Bible that it's mentioned and look it up and study that, because that will often give you some very good clues as to what God intends for you to do. Now, take that principle and apply it to raising children. What's the best way to raise children? I heard it. In the garden. The spirit of prophecy makes some very interesting instruction about, or statements about what the working of the soil does for the mind and for the emotions and the lessons that can be taught. So if you want the best way, now there are very many success stories of raising children for the Lord where they were not raised in the garden. But God's original plan, the best one, is to raise them in the garden. Now, it's true enough that some don't take to gardening real well. Some maybe resent it in the long run, but that depends to some degree on how it's done. But if you want to know what God's plan is, go back to the beginning and see how God set it up. That doesn't mean that you can't be a carpenter or a mechanic or a doctor and all these other things. But if you want the best help in raising your children, and especially sons, get them in the dirt. Teach them how to grow things. And the importance of the care of the plants, of weeding, or the cultivation of the soil, and the watering, and the weeding, and the patience that it takes. And how you have to weed, you have to take the weeds out. And help them to understand that they have to weed the bad character traits out of their life. Which grows fastest, the plants you want or the weeds? When is it the hardest to grow a garden? The first year when you plow up a weed field or after? The first year is always the worst. There are parents who think, I've heard this from parents, well, you know, we'll let our children grow up, and when they're old enough, they can decide for themselves whether they want to go to church or whether they want to have a relationship with the Lord or not. What you've done is put them 20 years behind in getting rid of the weeds. And as parents, it's our job to help them get out the weeds when they're young. I planted some carrots and beets. And I didn't have a chance to get them weeded before we went away to the wedding. Well, you know what kind of a mess I had when I got back. It's always a lot easier to take the weeds out when they're little. So when they're little, work on the weeding. It's a lot easier. So dads, especially, but moms and dads, go back to the beginning and find the principles that God gives us. You know, one of the, I don't know if Cecilia shared with you any of the stories about our new granddaughter from Russia. A little bit. Well, on one of the blogs that Rachel wrote on her, or one of the stories that she wrote on her blog, Katya grew up in an orphanage where basically it was kind of pretty rough, apparently. And she has some, shall I say, animal instincts in how she deals with life. And if she doesn't like what you do, she'll growl and hiss at you. And if that doesn't work, she'll scratch you. Now, she's getting over it. She's doing better. She doesn't like restraint or management, which most of us don't. And that's what discipline is about. But in the state of Michigan, it is a law that you cannot spank your children. And the Bible says, he who spares the rod, what? Hates his son. That doesn't mean that spanking is the only method. But there comes a time when that may be required. If the child ups the ante, the parent has to up the ante until the child recognizes that the parent is the one in charge, not the child. It's a good thing I don't live in Michigan raising children because I'd probably be in jail. God knows what he's talking about. And he's given us the counsel. And it's not old-fashioned. It's modern and up-to-date because he knows what human nature is. So my appeal, dads, some of us have already done our job. Some of us have our job yet to do, or it's in progress. But whatever, go back to the counsel of God in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and let it speak to you. And follow the best methods you can to raise your children to love and serve Jesus. Our closing hymn is Lead Them, My God, to Thee, number 653. Before we pray, I want to tell one short little thing. There were four preachers that were comparing translations of the Bible. And one said, well, I like the King James because of the poetic language. And one said this and one said that. The fourth one was kind of quiet. And they turned to him and he said, I like my dad's version. because he translated it into everyday life and taught me about Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, help us to use the best methods that you have given us to lead our children to you. Help us to go before them so that we can lead them. Father, be with our children and our grandchildren, that we might be your tools to lead them to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.